I'm reminded of a classic scene in the iconic mockumentary, This is Spinal Tap. In this scene, our protagonists, the hard-rocking members of the delightfully perverted English heavy metal band, are on stage, dressed in flowing black druidic robes, playing the introduction of their epic ballad, Stonehenge. And as they approach the bridge of the song, a dramatic mandolin solo cues a pair of little people dressed as elves to take the stage as a scale replica of the classic mythical hotspot Stonehenge simultaneously descends to the stage as those elves dance around it. And oh, how they danced, those little children of Stonehenge. But unfortunately, due to miscommunication, the scale replica of Stonehenge turns out to be far smaller than the little people dancing around it. If you've seen the scene, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And instead of 18 feet high, their Stonehenge prop is only 18 inches high, making the band a laughingstock on stage. And while you're laughing hysterically at this scene, take a second to think about how incredibly important scale is to how we lowly human beings interact with the world around us. I looked it up. According to Wikipedia, scale is the ratio of the linear dimension of a model to the same dimension of the original. And scale relates to human perspective. But what does scale mean in the world of trade show and exhibit design? And how can we scale back the pitfalls and the blunders of our dear friends from Spinal Tap while tapping into success? The answer to this and other questions, both big and small, is why we're here today, as today's podcast focuses on everything scale. Hello, and welcome to Echelon's 12 for 12, a series of 12-minute podcasts created to inform, entertain, and hopefully inspire creative individuals. And as always, this podcast is produced and sponsored by Echelon Design, a world-class team of creatives dedicated to helping organizations build tangible brands, especially in the exhibit industry. And my name is Adam Voss. I'm a comedian, professional MC, Spinal Tap fan, and fellow marketing and design geek, and I will be your host for the next 12 minutes. Our topic today is scale, and in the design world, scale is defined by the relationship we humans have with the real world. So today, we're going to get real and start small at the Cole Children's Museum of Greater Chicago. Today on 12 for 12, I am speaking with Sheridan Turner, the president of Cole Children's Museum in Glenview, Illinois. Thank you for being here and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So I have been a fan of the Cole Museum for many years, and I am interested to kind of get your take on scale and perspective with regard to kids and interacting in different spaces. So do you in this museum witness kids interact differently with spaces that are designed for smaller bodies versus how they deal with the real world, the big world?
Very much so, because children need boundaries. And if you put a small child in a huge cavernous space, they're immediately, where's my limitation? Where's my boundary? And they're either going to go take off at full tilt and try and fill it and right. find out where are the edges, where are the perimeters, or they're going to become very shy and hide behind an adult and not want to explore because it's overwhelming to them. So in the museum, what we have done is taken great care to create environments that are scaled to a child's size. And a great example of that that's very easy to comprehend is the grocery store.
Ah.
Because everything in the grocery store is scaled to the child. The little shopping carts are child size. The shelves are child size.
The prices?
Actually, the children are in control of the prices. And to be perfectly honest, I don't think I can afford to shop here. I was down there once playing with some children, and I had a loaf of bread, a couple of pieces of cheese, a couple of pieces of fruit, and I said, how much is that? $20. Okay.
Inflation.
Pint size.
Do you think The larger exhibits, do they instill a different sort of emotional response? I mean, is it grandeur? Is it fear? Or, you know, because they see something big. Is it more eye candy for them?
Well, it just becomes very overwhelming to them because when you think of a child's peripheral vision,
right.
It's just too much for them to take in. And a great example of that is we brought a life-size Barney into the museum one day thinking, oh, the kids are going to love it.
The purple dinosaur.
The purple dinosaur. They were petrified.
Yeah.
They're used to seeing this thing on a TV screen, so it's tiny.
Right.
But as soon as that purple dinosaur was towering above them,
even before it was like, he sang?
Even before he sang. And they knew who it was. You know, parents were going, but it's Barney.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. Nope.
Yeah, I'd have nightmares too. So your museum caters to kids at the different spectrum of the growth chart, all different spectrums, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the age?
Well, the age group is birth to eight.
Birth to eight.
But the sweet spot is probably 2 to 6 that are here most of the time. But the exhibits will accommodate different learning levels of children. Just because you're a 2-year-old doesn't mean to say every 2-year-old is doing exactly the same thing. 2-year-olds learn in different ways. They learn at different paces. I mean, you all know some children crawl and then walk. Some children never crawl. They go straight to walking.
So how do you create an exhibit or display that plays to the birth through the 8-year-old?
Well, first of all, we think about scale, which right. this is all about, and making sure that things are relatively sized to accommodate our little ones, our younger children. And then it's having different activities in those exhibits that each child can engage with. For example, we're now creating Build It, which is a new block exhibit. And there'll be smaller blocks in there that an infant can manipulate. And they're using sensory motor to try and pick it up, not small enough that they can swallow it and have a choking hazard.
Right.
And then at the other end of the spectrum, you've got these big blue blocks that your older kids can now, they're at a different level of play. They're actually creating things. I was watching some children the other day who had just moved. They'd just moved house. And so they built the house, and then they said, oh, we need wardrobes. And we need closets.
Sure.
And we have to have somewhere to put our clothes because apparently where they moved to was very short on closets.
Gotcha.
And there was also a plumbing issue. So they built the plumbing.
So you see that narrative played out.
You see the narrative played out as the children are figuring out everything they've just been through. And so the older children are now into this very dramatic area of play where they're interpreting the world. It's much more of an interpretive level of play through the blocks. So the blocks become replications of what they're trying to comprehend.
Right.
Whereas with the little one, they're still figuring out, how does my thumb and forefinger work together to make it so I can pick that block up and put it where I want it?
In my mouth. Right.
Yes. And the next stage is they'll put one block on top of another block. Does it stay there? Maybe yes, maybe no. And then they smack it, watch it fall down, giggle-inducing play,
right.
And they do it again and again and again.
And we do it at the bar. It's called Jenga.
That's right. Jenga.
Right. In our Proxemics episode last month, we had a guest expert that was saying adults resist spaces that can be construed as confining. Do you find the same to be true of children?
Panic attacks.
Right.
No. Children will go and explore. As long as the overall environment feels safe to them, they love to explore little nooks and crannies and see what's poking around in there, see if there's something else they can go play with. The Books and Crannies exhibit that we just totally redid.
And renamed?
And renamed Sheridan's Books and Crannies, yes, thank you. On the upper level, we've got these glass domes that the children can crawl into. And our idea was that kids will go in there with a book and, you know, look at what's going on in the world around them. And they're nice, small, cozy spaces, so you're comfortably cushioned in this
right.
nice round dome. No, I've seen children turn that into a spaceship. So
cool.
It's ignited this different level of imagination. They're not afraid to go in that small space. They're going to fill it in their own way with their imaginations and make it bigger than it really is.
Right. And now Books and Crannies also has a coffee bar.
It's a coffee bar. It's a spaceship. What else have I seen it as? I don't know. I'll have to go down and see what the kids are making it today.
Well, I want to go down and play in the museum. Thank you so much for joining our show today. It's been lovely talking with you.
Well, thank you for coming to the place where awesome lives.
Thanks again to Sheridan Turner and the Cole Children's Museum of Greater Chicago for letting me spend the day pretending I am 4 years old and playing with other kids that also pick their nose. That's our show for today. Join us next time when we dive deep into The Matrix and Keanu Reeves. No, he will not be here. But we'll discuss how to build a tangible brand from the physical world to the virtual one, leveraging social and integrated media. And we'll come to discover that in the world of exhibiting, bites and bits are just as important as nails and screws. So for a complete recording of today's podcast, equivalent dives in our other engaging episodes, as well as extras, go to iTunes or listen online at www.echeloondesigninc.com. Until next time, rent and watch This is Spinal Tap, and thank you for joining.